Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. Nick Kieser here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody's doing well. We'll take your thoughts all show long on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. SEC Media Days beginning today down in Atlanta, Georgia. So a different setting this year, not in Hoover, Alabama. Down in Atlanta. Am I right in saying it's in Nashville next year? Is that what I remember?
Yeah, I think that's right. It was supposed to be here in 20.
It was.
I think that is correct.
We'll double check
that. It should be in Hoover every year, but hey, I'm just glad I'm not there. Wherever it is.
Doesn't matter where it is. Rex Road is glad that he does not have to follow Nick Saban around. By the way, our SEC Media Day coverage brought to you by Volunteer Hose and Gasket, equipment supplier in Nashville, including gaskets, hoses, and hose fittings, seals, packing, joints, gauges, fire protection, cups, belting, and more. If you need it, they've got it. Once again, that's Volunteer Hose and Gasket. So Michelle Knezovic and Caroline Fenton are down in Atlanta for SEC Media Days, and they'll have us covered all week down there, so looking forward to that. Joe, as things begin today, I think our dear friend Brian Kelly will be speaking today, so interested to see what dialect he's speaking in down there at SEC Media Days. But outside of that, what are some storylines that intrigue you the most heading into this year's version down in Atlanta of SEC Media Days?
Well, let's be clear. This is a largely worthless event, although I'm very excited. Michelle and Caroline are going to have some great stuff for us this week, and there's always something interesting. But the number one storyline, here's something I missed. I missed just absolutely losing my mind over for several days on the show. Freaking UCLA and USC are in the Big Ten. What a stupid, stupid thing college sports has become.
Oh, man.
Just so stupid. I hope that you guys absolutely blowtorch college athletics for several days while I was gone. What in the hell are we talking about here?
We're talking about the two super conferences is what we're talking about, because that's where it's going, buddy.
Well,
it's the Big Ten and SEC.
Yeah, so we're gonna have NFC Junior and AFC Junior, and great. Although maybe could it be three?
Like it could.
I mean, the only way. I mean, the Big 12 to me, like the Big 8 and whatever they are now, the Pac 6, they need to join forces. Seriously. So,
you mean you're not excited for UCLA versus Rutgers?
Yeah,
no, and then fire you up.
Yeah, it's just brilliant. It's like, well, sorry, UCLA fans, you'll never ever play Stanford or Oregon or Cal game. But how about this big Purdue game coming up? Maybe we can make up some stupid trophy for you to play for. But hey, it's also not surprising, I guess. I will say that. Like Texas, Oklahoma, that was shocking last year, right?
And yeah.
That was both sides getting out in front of things, and it's going to be very beneficial to both sides financially. But it's still, and there's been hard feelings, and the expanded playoff is now blown up because of that. But like, it still makes some sense, and you do get Texas and Texas A&M reunited, and there's some geographical sense to it. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, this is just like, what?
Well, I remember the days of when Missouri joined the SEC. I was like, what? They're not in the South. What
right.
is this?
Right,
it makes
right.
no sense to me. And now you've got USC and UCLA playing in the Big Ten. Geography means nothing anymore. It's just totally irrelevant.
Well, if you go track just like the Big Ten's moves. Obviously, they made Nebraska. Well, you go back. Penn State, okay, they're an independent. You went to 11. People freaked out about that, too. Like,
oh, yeah.
Big 10, but you have 11 teams. No one cares. But that was a big deal then. But still, Penn State, okay, that's a good ad. Nebraska, although Nebraska has been dog water since they joined the Big 10, but like it made sense at the time. But then you go before this, you got Rutgers, Maryland, which is like, great. Mm-hmm. And that was all purely about cable subscribers, yeah. Which really doesn't matter anymore. So now you're going to brands as what matters. I mean, TV network too. I mean, it's Los Angeles, but it really is about just the football brand. I mean, that's what it is. So so much about this, and we haven't even touched on the SEC media days yet, but that's
fine. Well, how much do you – because that's going to be all people talk about today. They're going to bring that up. I do wonder this week how many coaches are going to want to even talk about this and how many are just going to be like, you know, I'm here to coach my team, my players. Let's talk about some football. Like, I'm sure there will be some of that. Like, Kiffin speaking today, Kiffin will probably talk about whatever. Like, he'll offer up thoughts on this. I don't think there's going to be that many SEC coaches that do, though. Like, I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of talking about conference realignment. At least they're going to try not to.
Well, yeah, I think Kiffin gives you a good chance. I mean, Kiffin coached USC. I'm sure that he'll – I mean, look, it's like, Lane, what if – you know, how would you have done if you were in the Big Ten? Could you have – you know, beating Minnesota, maybe.
Would they have let you back on the plane before they fired you rather than on the tarmac?
I mean, he'll talk about it. Mike Leach, I think, didn't Mike Leach already recently have some, like, it's all about money? And
yeah.
Like, yes, but not for you, though, Mike.
That's right.
You are doing this purely for the student-athletes the love of the game, not your own money when you've moved jobs. Who else could possibly – yeah, because, look.
Like, you think Saban's going to touch this?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
Other than that, that's probably, it's going to be a lot of, you know, let's talk about, you know, my depth chart, and then it's like, but I don't want to talk about it's July 19th. No, don't. Yeah, I mean, at least it gives you something interesting. I mean, that's what this is the question is, and it's not really for like a Clark Lee or an Eli Drinkwitz. You know, they're coaching their football teams, but I do have the long-term question of, at some point, are these leagues going to be talking about, if they're going to be this dictated by TV people, which is exactly what's happening, this is television executives are running college athletics. If that's going to be the case, is a Vanderbilt in jeopardy at some point? Because they aren't, you know, a football program that can compete at that level. I mean, my initial response would be, I don't think so. I mean, I don't think that at some point they're going to – but then again, who knows how this could get distorted and twisted down the road. If it really does just become just the AFC and the NFC college versions, you know, expanded playoff, and it's just about – I mean, granted – it's not like the NFL doesn't have crappy, consistently awful teams.
Yeah.
I know of one about 8 hours north of here. So it's not like you have to – like everyone has to be on Alabama's level. But if you basically are trying to put together something where it's like we've got the top, you know, 32 football programs in between these two leagues or whatever it is, top 40, could programs like that ultimately – be jettisoned and be looking at a long-term, more of an Ivy type of existence.
What do you think Notre Dame does? Because there's a lot of speculation about them moving forward. Do they remain independent? It's going to be an arms race for the Big Ten or SEC to try to get them if they choose not to remain independent. What do you think ends up happening with Notre Dame? And how attractive would it be if you're Notre Dame to join one of those two conferences at this point?
Well, obviously, they joined the ACC and for their other sports.
Correct.
I mean, the question there comes down to, okay, let's track how much money, because the SEC and the Big Ten are about to absolutely just dwarf everyone else in their annual, you know, intake. But it just comes down to the numbers to me. Notre Dame has had its own TV contract for a long time. They can go to market. They don't have to stick with NBC. I think that comes up pretty soon. It may still be. And if they decide to stay independent, they'll still have a seat, whatever it is. They'll have a seat. I mean, it won't be – everyone will be mad at them. But I absolutely don't – it'll just be a special consideration for them on their little island, and they can still live that way. But it may end up being more lucrative for them long term to – jump into one of these. I don't know the exact numbers of their and what they could get going to market with the TV deal. Because obviously, if you don't have to share, that's pretty sweet. It's just that there's so much money being shared now by the SEC and Big Ten, especially moving forward.
Well,
it's
like,
going to be ridiculous.
You know, geographically, it makes sense for the Big Ten to have Notre Dame. But as we've just learned, geography doesn't mean a whole lot. Like, I could absolutely picture one day a nice SEC battle between Notre Dame and Alabama at some point.
Sure. Notre Dame, Georgia had some good games recently.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, why not? Yeah, I don't. I mean, and there's like hard feelings going back between Notre Dame and the Big Ten. I don't know how much that matters anymore. I mean, Jim Delaney's gone, and they've tried a few times and things like that. I'd keep open. It would be hilariously dumb if they picked the SEC over the Big Ten. But again,
falls right in line.
We got USC Indiana coming up. Big Ten after dark. Next year.
Get excited. It's going to be a good time. 615-737-1025. We'll continue the discussion on SEC Media Days. How much hype do we think Tennessee is going to get this week down in Atlanta? I am very interested to see what that looks like. We'll get to that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road on 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 1025-1063 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We'll have Corey Curtis from News 2 coming up at 8 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on the Predators and his thoughts on the Titans as well. Just a little bit over a week away from training camp beginning for the Tennessee Titans. So looking forward to that. It's coming up a little bit later in the show, coming up at 8 o'clock. With Corey Curtis. Right now, looking ahead to SEC Media Days. Joe, one question that I'm interested to see how it plays out this week, because as we know, preseason SEC media predictions mean everything and are always accurate, and they're always things we look back at the end of the year and say, yeah, good job, SEC media. I'm kidding, of course. But I had my called shot on Friday, and my called shot was Tennessee is going to be picked second behind Georgia in the SEC East. And quite frankly, I feel great about it. Darren McFarland texted me after that, told me I was nuts. There's a whole lot of people that texted me on the text line, told me I was insane.
Really?
I feel pretty good about it. Like, I think Tennessee is going to be picked second in the SEC East.
I do, too. No, absolutely. I think you nailed it. That's a good called shot because that reaction tells you people think you're wrong. But I totally agree. And there's been a couple random, I want to say maybe Athlon. Did Athlon have that?
I think they did. Yep.
They had Tennessee second. I think that's going to be popular because there's not a clear – I think it's Tennessee or Kentucky. Since Michelle texts us that she's listening, let's give a little love to Will Levis and the Cats. And that would be – that will – Levis alone. And look, an overall solid roster, solid program, good culture.
Oh, yeah.
That will convince some people to vote for Kentucky, to pick Kentucky. I think Tennessee will edge them out for second because, like, no one's picking Florida.
I think nobody.
Florida is – they could be kind of not great this year. So I think you're going to end up being right. It'll be interesting. You know, Hendon Hooker – Tennessee is it's not just like Vols media that gets enamored or Vols fans who get enamored. Speaking of the Vols, and this goes into this, I've seen they've recruited really well.
Yep,
really well lately. They're on a roll. Whatever you want to attribute that to me, it doesn't matter if it's because of the Spire Sports, if it's because Josh Heupel's just crushing in the liver, whatever it is, they're recruiting really well. That's what it comes down to. They're accumulating talent at a high level. But I'm seeing, because I follow a lot of Vol Twitter, I'm seeing that like someone on Vol Twitter who I like and I know, and he was in my little Vol Twitter thing at The Athletic, had this thing like, Dooley, Butch, and Pruitt, I'm paraphrasing. I mean, this job is not that hard. Like, it's just three straight guys who totally blew it, and now finally have the guys like, listen, man.
Let's calm down.
Butch
man.
Was the exact same spot. Just please stop. Just calm down. We'll see what happens. Butch had huge classes early in his tenure at Tennessee.
I know.
He had like a number 4 and a number 6. Like, calm down. But this is exactly, you don't know what's going to happen.
This is exactly what I was talking about. We talked about this the day that Josh Heupel got hired. We didn't like the hire, which right now it looks like you and I are wrong on that.
It does.
We'll see what ends up happening, but right now it looks like he certainly already exceeded what I thought he could do on the recruiting trail. So it already looks different from that standpoint. But we talked about it that day. What happens if he does exceed expectations in his first year? Will Tennessee fans be patient enough to allow this program to develop at the rate in which I think it needs to develop? Which, as soon as he got hired, I was like, you know what? I don't like the hire, but you probably need to give him about 5 years. Like, that's what you need to do. And Tennessee fans are very good at stepping ahead of that and saying, all righty, here we go, baby. Right. Off and running again.
And so then he goes 7-5 this year.
I know.
And the negativity train gets rolling. I mean, that's how it has gone. So just look, it's good developments. These are good things. You still got to see if you can sustain it. And it's also like retaining your young players who don't immediately step in and star and get big NIL deals. Like, that's another part of this that you just can't predict. I mean, you can recruit really well, and then you can have a third of that class in the portal after 1 year. And,
yeah,
and that's a part of this too, is trying to keep a roster together, keep a quarterback room together, which they have kept the quarterback room together. By the way, I can't believe we haven't talked about Joe Milton yet. That's probably the biggest storyline of SEC Media Day.
Can't believe he's not there, to be honest with you. Thought he'd be there with Hooker alongside him.
Right? It's kind of an oversight on Heupel's part. I'm starting to question Heupel not having both of them there. But, no, I think Tennessee, I think there's going to be hype for them. That has not always been a good thing. But I do think that they have the team that can be second. And, again, that's the funny thing, too, is – hype for Tennessee, but you're just completely discounting that you could compete with, you know, the top of the league right now. That's a little bit of a reality check of where things are. You got to let things keep building.
Well, I think a lot of it boils down to the quarterback position. I mean, it's what it is. I mean, you bring up Levis in Kentucky. Certainly, I think he's going to be really good this year. But with the offense that Heupel brought to the table last year, and with Hooker now in the second year of that offense, like, that's going to be what gives the people, I think, a lot of confidence in this Tennessee team. Because, look, I'll be straight with you. I look at this Tennessee team right now, their defense scares the daylights out of me. Like, I think there's a chance that their defense could be very bad this year. I think their defense could be worse this year than it was last year. I don't know that, like, but just on paper, it is worse this year than it was last year. Now, could you have some younger players step up and develop and play better, and, you know, year two of Tim Banks, all that stuff, yes. And they could end up being a better defense. But the defense, to me, if I'm a voter right now, would scare the living daylights out of me if I'm Tennessee.
Yeah, they had tremendous tackle for loss numbers last year. They, you know, they created turnovers. They made plays. They also had some really bad days. And in their last time out, now granted, they're also missing some key players, including their top cornerback, but they don't have him back this year. So. Yeah. Yeah, I have real concerns about their secondary. They're going to miss Theo Jackson, Alante Taylor. I do like their pass rush. I think with some of those young guys up front take big steps, then I like that as a possibility. But they're going to have to win games. When they play good teams, they're going to have to rely on their offense to be absolutely elite.
John on the text line says, because recruiting's going well, everybody wants to play with Joe Milton. That's coming from John on the text line.
Thank you, John.
Big recruiting pitch.
You know, thinking down the road, Joe Milton's 11th year of college next year. He's going to be throwing you the ball. Just get, you know, you got to work on your speed. Get your speed up.
Young Nico being molded and guided by Joe Milton out there for a couple of years, and he's just ready to go.
Hey, man, everybody get your jokes in right now. Get your jokes in. I like want to fast forward to next year's camp. Yeah,
can we just skip past this year?
I'm going to drive out there to camp like every day just so I can watch Joe Milton, you know, just
sling
dimes
thing
all over the place.
Oh yeah. Dwight on the text line says, Joe, no more McDonald's bags full of money. This is coming from Dwight in Kentucky with a question mark. I guess the McDonald's bags are above board now. They're right there.
Right. You can. Yeah,
you don't even have to put them in the McDonald's
bag. You can
bags.
Wrap the Big Mac in 100 and just hand it over. It doesn't have to be inside the bag. That'll never die, will it?
No, it won't. The dark horse team to me in the East is South Carolina. I'm really interested to see where they land, because you know you've got Spencer Rattler coming in at quarterback. I don't know that I would put them in the same category as Tennessee and Kentucky right now, but if he plays really well, that can transform what they are. I thought Shane Beamer did a really good job in his first year. I don't know what to think of Florida. I have no clue what to think of Florida because everybody's down on Florida, and a lot of their fans are down on Billy Napier just because of the whole NIL stuff, and he has been very hesitant to embrace that stuff, and if he doesn't, they're going to get left behind and have been left behind so far. On the field this year, I don't really know what to make of them because they still do have talent.
Yeah. Well, they have had some big commitments lately, so whether that's an NIL thing or not, I don't know, but they have at least – they've got a little momentum when they were really in tough shape recruiting. And, yeah, I don't know. I mean, Anthony Richardson – by the way, shout out to Anthony Richardson for changing AR-15. You know, I think that's a good gesture on his part. That's not going to be his name anymore. But he's their quarterback, and he's really intriguing. You see some throws he makes, and you're like, whoa. So if he puts it all together this year, they could have the rare opportunity for a Florida team to exceed expectations. I guess I shouldn't say that. They've had some kind of not great teams over the last decade or so, but they don't look great on paper. He is the difference, you know, as the unquestioned starter. There is a lot of ability there, so you can't just count them out. But this is like the year Tennessee's got to beat Florida this year.
You're at home.
Have to beat them.
You have to beat Florida this year. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We'll have more thoughts on the Vols. Get to Vanderbilt as well. What are expectations in year two for Clark Lee, and what will we learn about this Vanderbilt football program this year? We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road on 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 1025-1063 The Game. I got some tickets to give away to see the Smashing Pumpkins and Jane's Addiction coming up at Bridgestone Arena on Monday, October the 10th. Be caller number 3, 615-737-1025. Caller number 3 at 615-737-1025. We'll win a pair of tickets to see the Smashing Pumpkins and Jane's Addiction coming up at Bridgestone Arena on Monday, October 10th. 615-737-1025. One of my favorite things that ever happened last week, by the way. Darren was he was reading off the promo for My Chemical Romance concert coming up.
Okay.
And he just called it Chemical Romance. It was amazing. Just go see Chemical Romance, baby. Come on.
That's my.
And Willie was like, my. Like your own personal Chemical Romance.
My Chemical Romance.
Oh, beautiful stuff.
Thank you for this A.J. Dillon destroying the mascot. Holy crap. Is that guy okay?
He has since tweeted that he is.
Oh, my gosh.
If you missed it, there's a Packers running back, A.J. Dillon, running over. Which mascot was it?
It's some sort of, I think, fish? It actually looks like the nuclear.
The Kenosha Kingfish, yes.
Okay. Oh, I see. That's a crown. At first, I thought it was like the Simpsons fish, you know, that's like right near the nuclear power plant, you know? But, yeah, that's a crown. Okay. Not like a third eye. Okay.
Got smoked.
Yeah, like if you're A.J. Dillon there, come on. Yeah, like, you've got to understand this is not actually training camp. Like, he went through him like he was actually doing this drill in training camp. I mean, come on,
he
man.
Knocked him back 12 yards. Ugh.
Wow.
Beautiful stuff. Shout out to that guy, though, for volunteering to be run over by A.J. Dillon.
Shout out to Michelle, too. Michelle and Caroline on the road. Shout out to Dennis Burnside, who did the Thelma and Louise illustration. Oh, yeah. Did you get that?
Yes, I did. Okay, I saw that yesterday.
Yeah, Michelle tweeted, like, I don't get it, but yeah. Thelma and Louise, underrated flick, but they're on the road, and she's mad that she's like, Kentucky, second WTF. So she's going to be upset if SEC media picks Tennessee over Kentucky.
I think it's going to be close.
I'm here for it. I think it's going to be close, too. There is some, like, well, you know, it's a big group, the SEC media, and there are some people who reject hype for the Vols.
Yeah,
and well, rightfully so in a lot of cases. So, but I think there's also people who get swept up in it. It's going to be close.
There could be some homerism.
I think you're going to be right though
at some point too.
Well, there's
it's
that.
It's been
too.
Known to happen in the SEC.
Well, yeah, you can just assume some of that for sure in the SEC. So. And that's a big press corps covering the Vols.
Is there somebody – my question for you is this, because I don't think it will happen, but I've seen things like this happen before. Is there somebody out there that will vote for anybody other than Georgia to win the SEC East? I don't think so this year, because they did just win the national title. But I am curious.
Well, they did. They also lost like 27 draft picks.
They did.
Not that many.
Stetson's
back. A lot. Yes, that's right. Stetson's back. Yeah, you know what? I wouldn't be shocked. I don't know who it would be, though. Because this happens in some years where there's like, you know, there's maybe like a dark horse team, but it's like they get like one vote. I mean, who would it be? It would have to be probably a super, super Vol homer that would pick Tennessee.
Hendon Hooker.
But I think one year, didn't like South Carolina get picked or something, yes, like when there was zero reason for them to be picked? Yeah. So, yeah. And this is another, there's more voting where everyone needs to reveal their ballots.
The SEC West is going to be interesting, too. I mean, Alabama's going to get picked to win it, but you've got A&M. You got Brian Kelly coming in year one at LSU. You got whatever in the world's going on down there in Auburn with Harsin. Like, it's a pretty fascinating division on the other side with some of these coaches.
Yeah, well, we don't even talk about the Mississippi guys,
I know,
who are the two biggest characters in the league.
Yeah.
But, yeah, with Brian Kelly – that'll be his first SEC meeting. That's today, right? Does he kick it off today?
He does, and I can't wait.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, there better be some questions. Actually, what we need is like Sparks.
Yeah.
Sparks to ask him a question in Sparks' voice and see, and like challenge him to answer in the same accent. You know?
Brian, what caused you to talk in a completely different dialect than you ever spoken before in your life?
Brian, do you like white, creamy things?
You had any gator down there yet? One of those tailgates?
Yeah. He'll be interesting. By the way, Brian Kelly has recruited really well at LSU.
He has.
And that's a big part of what he talked about in the move. But Marcus Freeman at Notre Dame is possibly like blowing them away, and it looks like he's on his way to the best class in Notre Dame history.
Yeah.
So kind of disproving what Brian Kelly's point was when he moved on.
Yeah. Westside on the text line says, I'm a Vandy fan. I agree. It's second in the East for Tennessee. Now, do we think that this is legitimate from Westside, or could there be some potentially setting up Tennessee to fail if you're Westside here?
Westside just agrees that media will overvalue Tennessee,
okay,
right?
Okay.
And Westside's, well, probably right. Speaking of Vanderbilt, I think that it's interesting this week that Mike Wright is going to Atlanta.
I was going to ask you about that. What does that tell you about where the starting quarterback job may currently sit with Vanderbilt?
I think that he's going to get the opportunity to do it. I'm not counting Ken Seals as purely the backup yet. And frankly, there is a camp, and I think that although so many of these quarterback competitions during training camps are fabricated or manufactured, I do think that there is one there. I think Ken Seals can still fight for that job. But based on what I heard about Mike Wright in the spring and the strides he made, I just think if you're Vanderbilt and you are at a disadvantage at so many spots, when you have someone who can do some of the things that he can do, he can change a game with a couple of big plays, I think it makes sense to lean in on that if you can get him to do the quick, easy stuff on a more consistent basis. So I can't look at this and dismiss it, you know?
No.
I think it means something. I think it also means, apart from who's the starting quarterback, Mike Wright is going to be like a great representative for Vanderbilt there. Like, he's really good, you know, with media and things like that. Like he'll be really good there. So that's part of it too, I think. But then again, I mean, Ken Seals is as well, and I can't just dismiss this. I think Mike Wright is probably going to take the first snap of the season for Vanderbilt, and I'd guess right now that he plays more than Ken Seals. I'm not convinced that it's just purely Mike Wright.
Well, I don't really want to see a two-quarterback system if I'm Vanderbilt. Like, well, let me rephrase that. Like, I think Mike Wright and his ability to run brings you an element that, quite frankly, they just, you know, Vanderbilt just doesn't have enough athletes at the moment. So He's by far, I think, their best athlete on the field offensively. So I understood the approach last year of Ken Seals being the starter and then Mike Wright, you know, getting some touches in the game. Like, if Mike Wright's going to be your starter this year, then just go with him. Like, I don't want to see a Mike Wright, Ken Seals every other series switch if I'm a Vandy fan.
I agree. Like, the platooning thing. And it's almost like Mike Wright and what he did previously well is kind of – it's more like the changeup, you know, traditionally. Whereas if Mike Wright can handle everything about the position, then I think you have to go with that. Now, look, if Mike Wright – you go six straight possessions without points, you have like 5-3 and outs, Ken Seals can play. And yeah. So I do think we're going to see both this year. That just – they're going to play some teams that are going to overwhelm them this year. And so switching up at quarterback, it's something you can do. I mean, look, Ken Seals is – I mean, it's one of their strongest positions in terms of depth. They have two guys who can do it well. At other positions, they're looking for one.
Right.
But I'm with you. I think the plan of like a two-quarterback plan of like you're going to get this, you're going to get that, I don't think that they should go into it with that mindset.
Coming up next, it is time for the Rex Rant. Joe Rexroad is back in the house for the Rex Rant. We'll get to that next. You're listening to Robbie and Rexroad here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
The time is now for the Rex Rant.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
On Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN, 102.5, The Game, and the Game Nashville app.
I'm here with my family. I'm here with my family.
And it is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. Our good friend Brian Kelly bringing us back in today. Looking forward to his comments a little bit later today at SEC Media Days. Joe, it's been over 2 weeks since your last Rex Rant, so maybe some things building up that you can now let off your chest.
There are a lot of possibilities. I mean, I think I might need a week of ranting about Adam Schefter at some point. His stupid... Did you read that Washington Post story about Adam Schefter?
Oh, yeah.
So we'll save that one. There's a lot of stuff. The USC-UCLA thing could be – there's a lot there, too. But I'm going to go to something that happened to me on vacation. This was part of the staycation aspect of the vacation. I took one of my kids to the doctor. And actually, we were at Vanderbilt, and they have a parking ramp. And this is something that's bothered me on and off throughout my life, I feel like. But on this day in particular, I thought about it and I was like, why would you ever do that? There are a couple instances or situations where it's okay, I think, to back into a parking spot.
Sure.
I would say if you are at a game or a concert or a big event where it's going to be a total hassle getting out and, you know, trying to back out and then you try to get into traffic. If you can just, you know, pull straight out in, it saves you a little bit of time. I get that. This was a parking ramp, just people, you know, parking in the ramp and then going in, you know, to the doctor, getting out whenever they get out. And for the most part, there's no one in the ramp. I mean, there's traffic coming in and out a little bit. This person stops. Now, it has an open spot in front of me, and I'm like, okay, they're going to pull into the spot, you know, take a left, pull in the spot. Instead, doing the, hold on, now I'm going to back into the spot. So I'm sitting there behind, and this is two-way traffic. So now there's a car coming that way, and I'm sitting here, and we're waiting for this guy to back his car into the spot. And nope, don't quite have that right. Let me pull forward a little bit. Now let me back up a little bit. Hold on. Let me pull forward. Dude, pull your freaking car into the spot, and then when you leave, you go in reverse, and then you drive out of the ramp. Like, what did you gain? You made everybody wait, and what did you gain? When that guy left, I promise you, there was no one
Nobody
there.
Nobody else, yep.
So if you drive into a spot, it's snap your fingers, you're done. And if you back out of the spot, it takes a couple seconds, and you're fine. Instead, you waste everyone's time for what gain? And I've seen this way too often. Some people are obsessed with backing into a parking spot. when it's like a parking, like a parking lot at Target or something. What? No, what are you doing?
Just pull in, man.
I don't. And then, by the way, he backed in, took all this time, and I, of course, finally I drove by, and you know, I didn't like flip him off or anything, but I tried to like give a little
a small stare, yeah,
little look, like come on. And as I looked, the car to his left was totally like close. Like there's no way that if there was a passenger side person on the left of it, no way they're getting into the car. So even if all that time, you did a crappy job of it. Probably because you felt rushed because there's all these cars waiting on you. All you do is pull into the parking spot.
It's amazing.
I don't understand it. It's so there's some situations where it's okay. Very few. Other than that, you're just wasting our time. Please stop doing it.
Well, I feel like whenever this happens, because I know some people that are – they have to back in. But what you just brought up is typically the case. Very rarely do you see the person backing in where they get it right on the first time. It's always some adjustment that goes on.
Right.
Especially in a parking garage. Like, you know, there's
tight angles.
You go down, there's tight angles. The worst is like when you got like some Ford F-150 in there trying to back in, and there's like the spot's barely big enough for your truck anyway.
It's hard enough going forward to create the right space.
And you're trying to back in, and it takes four attempts to get there. Never does the person pull in as they're backing in and fill up the spot correctly the first time. It's always two or three chances. So just pull in there, man. It'll be all right.
William said, Billy from Bellevue on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says trucks have to back in at simple science.
It's not simple science.
Are you messing with us, Billy from Bellevue? Yeah, that's the worst case. And this was just a car. And still they took like three different times to get it right and wasted all of our time.
Yeah. I got a text that says, you don't park on the ramp. The ramp is the entrance and exit to the parking area. So somebody getting very technical with your usage of the word ramp.
I said in the parking ramp.
Yeah.
They're not called parking ramps?
That's what I called them. I don't know.
Is that
parking garage? Whatever you want to say.
So you have to say parking garage or structure. Parking ramp is inaccurate. Is that right?
I don't know. There's a ramp in the parking garage.
You may have a point, but I call it a parking ramp.
John on the text line says, "I had a buddy like this. Even in empty parking lots, he would do it, and it would make me irate." It's coming from John.
That's the thing. Like I've seen this a lot of cases where it doesn't affect me, so it's like whatever.
Yeah.
But like seriously. Like whatever, it's like a big outdoor Walmart or whatever parking lot, and there's space around them, and they're backing in. I'm like, why are you wasting this time?
I will say this. I would say I back in probably 10 to 15% of the time, but it has gone up with the invention of the backup camera. Now that I know that I can line myself up exactly where it wants to be, the backup camera, I'll do it a little bit more.
Okay.
The backup camera.
So you do it when? Like, what are these situations?
I don't do it in a parking garage. Like, I'll do it when I'm at a sporting event for sure and I want to get out of there. Or if I know that I'm going to a place where I want to be the first one to leave. My number one rule of adulthood that I learned from my father that I will one day pass on to my children, always have your car. You can leave whenever you want to. You always have your vehicle. That's how I typically operate. So if I know that I'm going to a place that
meaning
I want to get out of.
Always be the one who drives, you're saying.
Always be the one who drives. Yeah. So you can leave whenever you want to leave. That's the number one rule of adulthood.
Yeah, again, if you're in a situation where it's going to be crazy traffic afterward, it's worth. Now, if you're making, you know, lines of cars wait for you to do it, it's kind of a pain in the butt. But you know what? If it helps you later, then I get it.
Yeah.
But for the most part, it really doesn't help you. It just hurts other people.
Maddie on the text line says, I back in. It's easier than pulling in forward due to the front wheels being your pivot point, but I do get it right the first time. It's coming from Maddie on the text line.
Okay, Maddie. You get it right the first time every time.
Do we believe them?
No, and wait, how is it easier than pulling in forward? Is that true? No, that's not true.
I don't know.
I think are you the guy, Maddie? Were you the guy?
Maybe so. Got a text that says, backing into a parking spot, it's often a sign that the driver doesn't want their plate seen. The plate could be expired or stolen or not belong to that vehicle. So maybe some nefarious activity going on, Retro.
Okay, so basically we figured out these people are all criminals.
Criminals that back into parking spots.
These people are all criminals. JD says he feels my rant in his bones. Thank you, JD. And then he tells a long story about his parking garage. Yeah, I'm with you, JD. Thank you. Thank you for the support.
Cody on the text line says, there's a lot of crazy people out there, Rex Road. You got to be able to pull off if you need to. Just get on out.
So I'm interested by – yeah, that's true. I'm interested in the parking ramp thing. I've never heard that, but actually it might be a good point. I mean, I'm Mr. – like you can't say bye week.
That's true.
So I want to make sure that we're being accurate.
Well, Kyle on the text line says, as an engineering inspector, our plans and blueprints called it a parking garage. That being said, most people know what you mean if you say a parking ramp. This is from Kyle.
But why, now that I think about it, why do we call it a parking ramp? I have, like, for my whole life.
I mean, there are ramps inside the structure.
Yeah.
Multiple.
I mean, it's sort of like one big ramp, I guess.
Yeah.
So that's maybe the idea, right?
Yeah.
I don't know,
though. We may have uncovered something today.
I may have to switch, so thank you.
Ron on the text line says, do we back in more than we parallel park? I would say for sure.
Yeah, and look, parallel parking. I mean, when you do that, you have to do it, right?
Correct.
And frankly, honestly, like I think I'm more confident in my parallel parking than I would be in backing a spot.
Oh, I'm way more confident in backing into. I hate parallel parking.
Yeah,
will not do it. I will drive somewhere else to go park rather than parallel park.
Yeah, I take it as a challenge because. When you get that right the first time, that's like, yes, you know. But that's essential. I mean, you're on a street and you have to do it. I think there is more of this, and I think that most of this is unnecessary.
I'm going to start paying attention to this as to how many people do this. Because I will say the doing it in the Walmart when you're like there's no cars within 10 spots around you has always been pretty funny to me.
Right,
it's back it in there, buddy.
If you took the total time of parking, granted, if you get it first time, great, okay? But for the most part, you're not going to. So take the total time of having at least a couple cracks at it, and then, yeah, you can turn on your car and immediately drive out. But again, go forward into a thing, and then just back out and go. I promise you, you're taking less time to park if you do it the normal way.
Megan on the text line says, if you're dead set on backing in and there are people behind you, you pull in, you let them pass, and then you do your thing. This is coming from Megan on the text
line. Well, another thing that I have done a couple times is I could tell that they're not done.
Yeah.
But they're in enough, and I just go
just
by.
Just zoom right around them? Oh, yeah.
And they may not have intended for me to go by them. I don't care. If you leave
I'm not sitting here waiting all day for you to figure your stuff out in the parking garage. Not going to happen.
Yeah. It's inconsiderate, and again, it's unnecessary.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Corey Curtis from News 2. We'll get his thoughts on the Preds and the Titans with training camp just over a week away at this point. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.